Coaches, there's never been a better time to jump all in on the Coaches membership. The program has more than it's ever had, full of support, resources, teaching materials, webinars, player resource videos, captain courses, green team kits to verify your players, all the tools you need to develop your athletes into the leaders needed to win, all in one place. Take advantage of the Coaches membership. Join the thousands of coaches around the country and begin developing your players into those leaders you need to win.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle Elmendorf. And Kyle, today, one of my favorite coaches here in Maryland, a good friend of mine, Coach John Kelly, Quince Orchard High School head varsity football coach, prestigious career. I mean, man, 900 plus win percent, three out of the last four state championships, certainly a future Hall of Famer and high school Maryland coaching, if they even have that. I think they do. Either way, Coach Kelly, man, he's seen it. He's seen it all. And the other day, he tweets a tweet about an opposing quarterback that he played against or coached against a couple years ago, who's now up at Albany University. And his name is Reese Poffenbarger. Reese Poffenbarger. How about that name?
Right? Yeah, I like that.
And he is on the 2023 Walter Payton Award watch list. He's a local guy from Maryland. I never had a chance to work with him, but certainly know of him and certainly know he's a very successful quarterback, really good player. And Coach Kelly tweeted after Albany posted, hey, to keep a watch out for our Walter Payton Award watch list. Coach Kelly said, I played a 7-on-7 game against his team in high school. I walked away from the game super impressed by him, not only as a quarterback, but I could tell he had, in quotation marks, it as a leader and field general. It's an interesting statement there. I could tell he had it as a leader and field general. Now, Coach Kelly, who I've talked to him about this tweet, he doesn't know him personally. You know, they don't have a relationship. He didn't even really talk to him that game. He just said from a distance, he could tell he had it. And that's a very interesting thing that coaches talk a lot about is our players, wanting our players to kind of have that it factor, those intangibles. But it also is very vague. It's very...
What is it?
What is it? Okay. You can't like Google it. Okay. Like, and you can't really even put it on a resume or an application. What is it? It's something. In fact, we want all of our players to have it. We would love our players to have it.
Absolutely.
We want to instill it into our players, but what is it? Like what is it? Truly.
Yeah, that's one of the things that it's common in every sport when we talk about the it factor, but I think people would be hard pressed to really define it. It's a great question.
And it's one of those things that even as Coach Kelly and I talked for a while about it, that it's hard to describe. It's hard to describe. In fact, we were exchanging messages about this topic in advance of this podcast. And he actually said, hey, Adam, I got to call you on this one. I can't even like describe it via text. He's like, I got to call you. And we end up getting on the phone. We talk for a bit and we just kind of discuss this topic here. And there's a variety of things. And, you know, I have a list of five things that to try to put some, you know, be able to grab a hold of this and make it kind of more real and tangible. And I'll share those five things. But, you know, one thing that Coach Kelly said, and I agree, is, you know, the more you spend time around young people, the more you are able to determine it. And I agreed with that statement. He said, yeah, after multiple decades of watching and being around young people and seeing all the nuance of young people and how they carry themselves and their behaviors and their attitudes and their confidence, that it heightens your awareness to it. And that is one thing experience is going to be able to kind of play in our favor here as we try to figure out who has it and who doesn't. It is something that, you know, our radar of it is a little more challenging early in our years of coaching. But the more you begin to experience and be aware of it, then it becomes more to light. Would you agree on that?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the things, like you said, with experience, it is able to be identified. Now, do we articulate it well enough? No, but when you're around the game and when you're around athletes for an extended period of time, you can start to pick up on it pretty quickly, which I'm sure allowed Coach Kelly to be able to have that observation and then that resonate with him. And I think most coaches like that would fall in the same boat.
And when you think about it, we both also came to the conclusion it is something that's more felt than seen. There's just a feeling when you kind of are witnessing this, when I say rather than seen, like not necessarily a set of actions and behaviors per se, but you're just able to kind of feel it. There's an aura that is radiated.
There's just a sense around them.
Right? Yeah, around that person that it radiates from them, just how they carry themselves, their body language, their attitude, their presence on the field. It just feels different.
Yeah, the energy that they carry is different because of all those things that you just listed there. But there's it's absolute truth that when they enter a room or they enter a building or a locker room, a field, whatever, they carry that with them and that projects to everyone else.
I would agree with that. I think they're able to walk into a room and change the temperature of it. Right. Their presence. People know that they're in the room. There's a shift ever so slightly in the behaviors of those around them when that person walks in the room. And where does it come from? Like, how do you get to that place? If I'm a young player listening to this saying, hey, I want to have that it factor. I want that to be part of the association with me as an athlete. I want people to view me in that way as an opposing coach like Coach Kelly did, where I could tell from a distance that he or she has it. Here are my five things, Kyle, that I think have to that do play into a player having it. The first is what we reference simply as team-wide respect. There's a level of respect that the rest of the team has for that person. They view them in a healthy, positive manner. They've got this respect for that individual. And that respect really comes from two things specifically. It comes from integrity and consistency.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, consistency is so key when you're trying to get that. And obviously, integrity is important, but you can have integrity for one day. But if it's not consistent, then you lose that. So
they play off one another.
Absolutely. They go in tandem.
Yeah. So if I can live with high levels of character and integrity, character fueling my integrity, right, then people are going to view me in a light that is elevated, right? They're going to view me in a light that is elevated with respect and admiration. And that consistency is going to help keep that ongoing. It's going to prevent me from engaging what we talk about as leadership injuries. If you're not familiar with that, go into your coach's portal and look at, you can watch a player resource video where we talk about leadership injuries, these setbacks that players experience because their character causes them to act in ways that once again provide a setback, just like a real injury produces setback. Team-wide respect, though, comes from your integrity, then is carried out through your consistency. That has to be it. Vocal authority, Kyle, is the second. Mm-hmm. There's a vocal component to their game. It doesn't mean that they're the loudest. It doesn't mean that they have to be, you know, nonstop, where that's the only voice you hear. No. But there is a vocal component to who they are. They are not simply mute. They are not simply just operating exclusively on leading by example. There is vocal communication intertwine with this individual, whether it comes through teaching, whether it comes through encouragement, whether it comes through reinforcing, whether it comes through instruction. There's got to be a vocal component to their game, Kyle.
Yeah. And for me, when I think of that, they're vocal, but they're vocal not just to be vocal. They're not wasted any words. They're very intentional with their words. So a lot of the times when we as coaches challenge our athletes to step up and be leaders, we want them to be more vocal. But I think when we're talking about vocal authority, it's when they speak, people turn and listen because it's always of value. It's not just someone beating a drum or just sounding on a soundboard. Like, there's always intention behind the words, and people always get better as a result of them. So it's not just barking just to bark, which a lot of times our kids think that is leadership, is, you know, the yelling and things like that that come with it. But that's not it. It's making others better around you and doing so in a very succinct way.
This is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. One of the biggest mistakes that you can make in your leadership journey is assuming that your talent will get you places. And we have a phrase that hangs in the restaurant that says, be the hardest worker in the room because opportunity comes to those who bring more than just talent to the table. So sure, you might bread a chicken sandwich the fastest, or your milkshakes might be perfectly portioned each and every time, but leadership is more than these things, and we're not going to promote someone based on talent alone. It's about the people that embody the values of hustle and dedication, the ones that show up early and stay late. They volunteer for that special project. They engage in feedback conversations, and they always position themselves as a humble student of the business. Those that stand out to me are the ones that choose to be the hardest worker in the room, not necessarily the one that has the most talent. Now let's jump back into the episode.
And that plays into my third thing, is they tap into mentor moments.
Yeah.
They are very intentional to try to develop those around them, to coach them, right? To challenge them on moments where they slack or they may be slipping, right? If a quarterback in a 7-on-7 warmup and a receiver runs the route incorrectly, they are very intentional to mentor that person. Hey, remember what this is, what we're doing. Okay. And that mentoring, yeah, you got to understand where that can come from, that comes from a high level of knowledge for the game. Right. I mean, think about mentor. You can't even enter into the world of mentorship without understanding, without insight, without expertise. Think about it. Nobody pursues a mentor in any walk of life that doesn't have insight and understanding and knowledge on the subject. Right. Yeah. So their mentoring is connected to this knowledge of the game, this understanding of the game, and that then causes them to allow them to be that extension of the coach, to be an instructor for their peers. And that mentoring plays a huge, huge role. You see it all the time, Kyle. They're pulling players aside. They're instructing them their ear. They're reminding them assignments and things like that. And, you know, you see, you know, that quarterback that's kind of directing during warmups the rest of the team. They have a command. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah. And I think it comes from confidence and humility is what I think about there, when like someone has the it factor, when they walk on a field and people can kind of sense that, is one, the person is very knowledgeable. So they're confident in what they're able to do. So they're knowledgeable. They've done it before. They have the experience. But you can't mentor someone unless you're humble, unless you have humility, because people aren't willing to be mentored by someone who doesn't project that. They don't want to take that from somebody. So how does someone have that it factor? You have to walk out there with confidence. You have to project that, but do so in a way to where you come off as proud, but not prideful. And that's one of the things I really challenge our athletes on sometimes, is to be proud. Like, you should be proud of who you are and what you're doing, because it's not easy, but you can't go around and be prideful, because the minute you become prideful, you start pushing other people away. So for them to act as a mentor at a high level, you know, project the confidence, share your experience, but do so through humility, and people will be naturally drawn to you.
And that plays right into point four.
I'm not doing this on purpose. So
I know. It's just, it's healthy confidence. It's a healthy confidence. And you just kind of described it perfectly. It's being able to walk out there in a healthy manner, projecting yourself with a healthy confidence, a body language that is, you know, poised, that is, you know, positioned where you're not trying to, you're not dancing around being arrogant of sorts, right? There's this business oriented kind of mature handling of your emotions and of your mindset and your confidence that you just walk in and I'm picturing shoulders back, head up, mm-hmm. right? Not in, once again, head up, yes, but not all the way up to snub. Okay. So like there's levels, right? Head up, shoulders back, great confidence, right? It's allowing yourself to listen to coach with great intention, right? Eye contact stuff. It's just this confidence, this bravado, this sense of self that is in a really well-managed way. Once again, hard to see, hard to describe, but easy to call out and point out.
I think of the sticker that our friends at PGC Basketball would give out, and I think you still have some too, but unruffable, right? When we're talking about that. And when I think of that phrase, when I was a high school athlete, my football coach, who was my uncle, but he had a sign outside his office. And I've seen this in a lot of different schools throughout the country as well. So I'm sure a lot of coaches out here will be nodding their head on this one. But Adam, you've ever seen just kind of like the duck metaphor where the duck's, you know, swimming across the pond, and on the surface, he's projecting, right? The healthy confidence. He's poised. He has that. But underneath the surface, he's paddling like crazy, working like crazy. So to me, those are the things that kind of come to mind is when you have the healthy confidence, you're unruffable, but you're also still working. You're projecting it, like you said, with your head up, but inside you're always thinking, you're always working on the next move. You're never content. I think you're never just satisfied with the status quo. You're always working to get better.
You're on point today, playing into my last and final point. And I swear, actually, I didn't share these points with you earlier.
No. I mean, we had minimal prep time together on this, like you said, because our schedules have been so busy here lately.
Here's number five. The last thing, controlled intensity. It's a controlled intensity. It's, and if you listen to a recent episode about, you know, where we talked about communicating clearly, I shared kind of a whole breakdown of this word intensity, right? Where it's kind of a combination of twofold. On one side, it's the deep passion, but on the other side, it comes from the root word of intentional, right? So it's more of the precision, clarity, aim. Purpose, they've got a great and controlled intensity. There's an energy to them, but that energy is under control. They play with emotion, but aren't emotional.
Yeah.
They are passionate, yet simultaneously poised.
Mm-hmm.
And they've learned the balance of the two. And it, to your duck metaphor there, right? You know, they are calm and collect, but they're working. Don't get it twisted, man. They're processing. They are intense. They're managing their emotions, but they're doing it in such a way that it's controlled. And whenever things are controlled, then channeled, it's when you deliver the best. And that's what they do. A controlled intense. So they control it. So they then in turn can channel it greater. And actually produce, and they've got that. They you can tell that they want it. You can tell there's a hunger there, there's a desire there, but it's not so loud where it almost like they're trying to make everyone aware of it. Okay. Right.
Yeah,
they may have a little moment
of bravado.
Yeah, that false sense. Maybe it's sprinkled out. I think about an individual like Tom Brady, right? You know, he'd have his moments of running out of the tunnel and screaming. And that was his outward expression of his intensity. But for the most part, everything else was controlled, right? Mm-hmm. He was very internalized. He'd sit on the bench and kind of control his emotions, and he'd have his presence there. And you could just tell he just, you know, just has it. He just has that it factor.
The eyes give it all away when you're looking at athletes. And like you said earlier, is when you've been around athletes for a long enough period of time, and when you've coached the sport for a long enough period of time, you can tell when an athlete is focused, when they have that high intensity about them, because you can see it in their eyes, and they don't have to be vocal about it, but people can sense that, and they know that this person's ready to go. And people feed off of it. Like, just when you're around a group of people for a long enough period of time, which you are in a season, you don't have to really communicate verbally. You can look at someone and you can read it on their face, but you can also sense the energy that's coming off of them.
And I would add, not to the 5 points here, but to the point Coach Kelly made, and I agree with him on this. You also have to be a good player. You also have to be a good player.
Yes, that is so true. And that's a great point to bring up, because, you know, you can say all that, but yeah, you got to walk the walk too.
You got to be a good player. You got to be a good player. But it's when you combine being a good player with all those other things is when you elevate your value, right? And I think you move closer to having, you know, being in a position to have the it factor. But they play off one another, right? Those five things that I laid out help you become a better player, right? Becoming a better player can play into those things to help you have the it factor, right? So you could almost view it as a marriage. Have these components, the intangibles and such, combined with being a good player, boom, you put it together, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
You got the factor.
And the tangibles, you know, those intangibles, they are tangible. That's the thing. It is like, there's some of the things that, you know, aren't measurable if you're at a combine, but when you're evaluating a player and their effect on a team and their ability to lead a team, they're 100% tangible.
I always tell our players, like, and I'd always use it as a professional sport reference up until late. I'd say, you know, talented players get paid, but talented players who are also great leaders get paid more.
And for scholarships.
But now that statement actually can hold true to NIL, right? College. I can tell my high school players, hey, you know, now that there's money being in many cases provided to these college athletes or high school athletes to college, I'll say, same deal. Hey, being a great player, it can get you paid. Being a great player and a great leader, it gets you paid more.
And multiple times. That's the thing, is you can get paid once and then you're done.
That's a great point.
You get a couple paychecks. You get a couple bags.
Because you'll sustain.
Right.
Right. Kirk Cousins style, you always say, are you surprised that, you know, all in all, like the players in the NFL, they've got great character. I know we spotlight some of the one or twos that get in trouble and all that, but by and large, these athletes that are in the NFL, they're great people, right? I mean, the Walter Payne Man of the Year award is always a highly touted competitive award because there's a lot of good people. Kirk Cousins was asked about just the tough competition on the Walter Payne Man of the Year award, and is he surprised by how many good character people are in the league? He said, absolutely not. He said, I'm not surprised in the slightest bit. Because your character better be right to sustain and reach this level. Because all those with poor character got filtered out before they got there.
It's a lot of talented people walking around on the street.
100%. It. You got it? You have the it factor? Do you want it? I'm sure you do. Coach, this is a great episode to share with your players. Any players that you think are close to having it and want to be that type of player that has it. Allow this episode to just kind of give them some insight, give them some ideas to be more intentional. And players, if you're listening to this, right, take the things we share today, try your best to lean into them, to work on them, to be intentional in those areas, to help you just continue to grow as that player with the influence over your team and over your teammates. It's going to carry you for a lifetime in so many areas of your life, not just in sport, when you can have the it factor. Listen, business leaders want to hire people with the it factor. College sports, pro sports want players with the it factor. The market for people that have the it factor will always be hot. It will always be in demand. Get there. Have fun with it. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. He is Kyle. We appreciate you listening. Until next time, we are out.